Welcome to the Idea Talks, where we discuss big ideas. The Idea Talks is a weekly podcast with Josh Tice and other leaders on big ideas for life, leadership, and ministry. And I'm your co-host, Drew Polvencia. For more information on this podcast, visit ideanetwork.church.
Today's big idea is that you, as a ministry leader, can be spiritually healthy. Today we're joined by the incomparable Dr. Johnny Hunt. Hey, Drew, it's time to advertise.
This is my favorite part of each podcast.
Yeah, but we're not going to advertise the book any longer. Nobody cares.
I mean, I think you've sold a few copies at this point.
It's done. Put a fork in it, because right now we've got a new thing to push on you,
tell us, great listener. Please tell us.
No, I can't, because some of these people are fast-forwarding right now.
That's true.
No, stop fast-forwarding.
Stop the scroll.
Okay, now you're ready. Here's what we're going to advertise to you. That is the official membership of the Idea Network.
So originally it was called the Charter Membership.
Charter Membership was
limited to like 100 people, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And everybody, and only those who joined up in 2021. You say, man, I want to be a Charter Member. Well, too bad.
You can no longer be a Charter Member. However, you can be a part of the membership program.
That's right, an official member of the Idea Network. You say, but I listen to the podcast. You're not a member. Yeah, but I'm in that Facebook group. Not a member. Yeah, but I come to Idea Day. Not a member.
I bought swag off the store.
Not a member.
Yeah.
But that swag, by the way, is awesome stuff.
Pretty great.
Yeah. Official members are those who are joining the 2021 Charter Members in our membership program. What does that look like? Well, it looks like a monthly fee that goes toward the functioning of the Idea Network and allows the Idea Network to do the things that it does. With that membership, this is what you're purchasing. You're purchasing a weekly virtual roundtable with myself and other ministry leaders for the purpose of creating an environment to share collaborative ideas between Idea Nights, Idea Days, and Idea Summits. These virtual roundtables have been a refreshing time for so many of us. But not only that, you receive a swag box with all of the greatest merchandise Idea Network has to offer and the ability to get involved in member-exclusive events. Look, we want you to be supportive of the network, and you want to be supportive of the network, but there's a lot that comes along with it, and we want you to be involved with the official membership of the Idea Network. All you have to do is go right to the website and look up membership and join us soon.
IdeaNetwork.church. Sign up there.
Hey, welcome back to the podcast. We are excited because today is episode 130. Drew, we've been going for 130 episodes.
It's been quite a few. Many, many years now.
Yeah, you know, at this point, I feel like I've neglected some important things like my Netflix queue and my video games. I got to get back to the priorities, bro.
Yeah. We could all schedule a little more leisure in our schedules.
Yeah, and you have me doing 130 episodes. I'm getting tired.
Apologize.
I'm getting burnt out.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll talk about burnt out today.
That seems like a segue to me. Is that a segue?
It's a segue, but it's a segue way too early because we're not ready to get there. Today, we're joined by the incomparable Johnny Hunt. Pastor Johnny, we are so glad to have you. Now, everyone knows your background and your pastorate and your work now with Send Network. Could you introduce yourself to the audience a little bit?
Okay. I'm serving presently as Senior Vice President of Leadership and Pastoral Leadership and what else am I doing over there? I do something. Evangelist. Yeah.
A few things.
I would get in trouble with my CEO.
Yeah.
But for 33 years, I served the First Baptist Church of Woodstock and still have my membership there. My pastor tells me, you don't come much, but when you can't come, mail your tithe. So we've got a good relationship and loving mentoring pastors. Been leading a ministry called Timothy Barnabas. I'm starting next week in San Diego will be year number 28. Mm. I mentored two pastors a year, like some that you mentioned a moment ago, two a year for 25 years while pastoring at Woodstock. Started a city of refuge for hurting pastors, Hope Quest for pastors that had major addictions. So we've sort of given our life to those that serve in the same capacity of my own calling.
Man, we are excited to have you on the podcast and all that you've done, not only to advance the kingdom, specifically to advance pastors and help ministry leaders across the country. This is why our heart, I think, is so knit to yours. And mentioned off air a moment ago was the fact that you mentored two of my dear friends, Pastor Vance Pittman here in Las Vegas and Pastor Paul Gotthardt here in Las Vegas, two churches you planted out of two specific mentees that you established.
Yeah, we're proud to say the least. And one thing is getting a little ahead on some of the questions we'll talk about. But one of the great joys is living long enough to, by the grace of God and to God be the glory, to be able to see the fruit that is being borne by those that you invest in. 90-year-olds were asked recently, if you could live life over, what would you do differently? And one of their top three answers was, I would invest more in that which would outlast me. If you're going to invest in that which will outlast you, you got to invest in another human, because that's the greatest resource God's placed on this planet.
Oh, man, that is solid gold. We're excited about having that conversation. Now, when it comes to investment, some of you might be thinking, I have a little bit of time and a couple days in a couple weeks that I'd like to invest in an important conference. What conference, Drew, should they invest that time in? Maybe even 2 weeks from today. What conference might that be?
Yeah, Idea Day. So we have Idea Day in Tampa. We have Idea Day in Chicago. Your choice. It's a buffet of Idea Day, so to speak. So you get to choose whether you want to go down to sunny Florida in your Tommy Bahama shirt and flip-flops, or if you want to get on your sweater, go get some Giordano's pizza up in Chicago. It's up to you. It's your choice. A lot of the same topics can be covered at both. They're not meant to compete. It's just meant to be whatever is most closest to you and where you want to go.
Yeah. So 2 weeks from now on March 22nd, you can join me.
It's not too late.
What?
Not too late.
It's not too late. Yeah. You can go on and register right now at ideanetwork.church and join us on March 22nd there in Tampa, beautiful sunny Tampa, or the big city of Chicago the following week on March 29th at Idea Day Midwest, or down in Tampa at Idea Day South. Very exciting. We're only a couple weeks away. I cannot wait to see so many of you guys and gals out there. It's going to be a lot of fun. Today, as we get back to the main topic, it's about spiritually healthy pastors. Spiritually healthy pastors. And with all of the pastors that you've had an opportunity to mentor, with all of the pastors you've worked with all of the pastors that have come to your conferences and Timothy Barnabas opportunities, our first question really has to do with burnout. Pastor Johnny, what is it that leads to burnout?
Well, if it's anything like difficult days in my own life, we can teach margins. We just don't practice margins. So we need margins in our life. We need, you know, we're going to work hard and then play hard, but we've got to balance that out with good margins. Number two is really encourage is a simple word in courage. Courage comes in, and normally it comes in through particular areas of giftedness that God has sort of geared us toward. But then discourage, this simply means out. There's things that take courage out of us. And if we don't have a proper balance, and especially a good dose of encouragement, we'll find ourselves very discouraged, leading down the roads to being distraught and finding ourselves in seasons of depression. I think everyone that's probably 50 years or older has had times of depression in their life, brought on by stress related to ministry. Couple of books somebody could read and get ahead of the curve. The best I've ever read is Leading on Empty by Wayne Cadera. Leading on Empty. And then Boundaries is just a phenomenal book by Townsend. And multi-million seller, you understand why. We don't have these boundaries in our life. And before too long, there's just no time off. For instance, in my life today, I would challenge anyone to find me in any particular time that regardless of how busy I am, I can tell you in close proximity when my next break is. I got in trouble when I was 58 years old. So 11 years ago, I'm 69 now. But at 58, I hit a wall. And the way I would describe it, something inside of me died. And I could tell you what was going on physically. I was president of the Southern Baptist Convention, largest evangelical body to ever exist on the North American planet, continent. And then I also was preaching four services on Sunday, 3 a.m, 1 p.m, and doing it all and loving it. And in the midst of that time, I was battling cancer. And I just continued to press on, had my treatment, my surgery, came back too fast, and it just perfect storm did a number on me. And I found myself under psychological and medical attention for 16 solid weeks, just pulling out. And when I look back on it, I mean, I like it or not, we do begin to feel we're invincible. Now, thank God they say, you know, a lot of times we have difficulties in our life, and I always say you can land on your feet though. And by the grace of God, I landed on my feet. I learned and took something away, a lot away from that. And it literally has changed how I'll work the rest of my life. Still very busy, but still lots of margins.
I absolutely love that. I guess I have a follow-up as it relates to burnout. I recently had a conversation with one of the leaders of the Idea Network, speaks at our events, who writes blogs for us, a great guy. And he really went through a moment of burnout. And in the midst of it, he had a former mentor reach out to him and say some of the most odd thing. And I want to get your opinion on it. A former mentor reached out to him and basically told him, there is no such thing as burnout. You just need to work harder. This was his counsel. You've bought into a modern philosophy. You've bought into a modern way of thinking, and you just need to stick your nose to the grindstone. And I've been serving Jesus for 40 years and I've never burned out. And you're basically was the message was you're being lazy. What would you say to a guy who is getting these different perspectives of, well, no, you're not burned out. You just need to work harder.
If you'd have looked at my Facebook, post before burnout, I had Charles Spurgeon's quote up in the corner. Rest, why rest? We'll have all eternity to rest in. I took it down. that I appreciate that, brother. Anybody wants to feel like they can speak words of advice into our life, but I would take him to Exodus 18, where Jethro met with Moses and said, if you keep doing ministry this way, here's the words. You will wear away. You will wear away. And then he even said this, I'm going to show you how to do it easier, and God will be with you. God will be with you. It's one of the most beautiful leadership lessons ever. So here's a brother, 40 years in ministry, and he's just, you know, grinding. I would say, I would challenge him on priorities. The best way to get a preacher and understand it is get the jar and talk big rocks. What has got to be in the jar? If you don't get the big rocks in to begin with, you're in trouble. So to say that, that's fine for him, but here's a brother that's already bleeding. And the first thing that came to mind as you were talking, I was thinking, how many friends does Job have? Because that's the kind of advice Job was getting. Come on and think about that. Yeah. The advice seems so sound to a Jewish mind. You know you're not going through what you're going through unless you're out of the will of God. Confess it. This doesn't happen to good people. Good people don't suffer. Mm-hmm. And I would take issue with that. And that violates soul care. There's so much that would violate with me. When a preacher says, I don't remember the last time I took a vacation, I'll rebuke them. I mean, in love, the wounds of a friend are better than the kisses of an enemy. We need to, that brother needs to be hurt by something we say that, you know, you will not, you get my age, you don't look back and brag about that type thing that you never took off. You kept doing it. James Dobson ended up being a personal friend. And he used to say to me, if you go through a difficult time, the first thing you ought to ask is it anything medically, you know, and mine was, I was dealing with cancer. And then it was priorities too. I just had no boundaries in my life. I was wide open and, hey, I got one life and it'll soon pass. Only thing that's going to matter is what I do for Christ. And I was going right on. But I think of Proverbs 19:20, listen to advice, receive counsel that you might be wiser in your latter days. I feel I know how to work better than I used to. And I got there the hard way, you know. And normally we learn more from those hard lessons than we do from other people's lessons. You know, we begin to think that that'll never happen to me. And it did. So
I kind of have a follow-up question to the burnout topic, Pastor Johnny. Why do you think it is, as like a really ambitious or driven leader, that we're honestly addicted to the hurry and busy, because that's where we drive a lot of meaning from? So in other words, like, in the first times, I work in the secular field, right? The holidays for us are super, super busy, right? Really from September till December, I'm going nonstop. But come January, February, it's a little bit more of a lull, right? And when it gets to that slower time of the year, I'm questioning myself as far as like, hey, like, is what I'm doing right now actually mattering, or does it have a lot of meaning compared to those busier times? Yeah, I guess there's a two-part question there. Like, why do we drive so much value from that hurry or the busyness? And like, how can we overcome that?
Yeah, I think we feel, and it is hard to overcome. For instance, say, get in that context and you're used to that, and then your church gives you a sabbatical. Did you know that many men have been given the gift of a sabbatical and hadn't taken it yet? And the reason is they're thinking, I got to go to work. I mean, I've got to get it done. And it's hard to pull away. It's hard to pull away. So my first sabbatical, which was in 1995, I like to drove my family crazy, because how many people in the world, probably 1%, have had a 6-week paid sabbatical.
Yeah.
Seriously. And so here I am after about 10 days. Oh my God, I am charged and ready to go. I did not give my body permission to tell me, like, my medical doctor asked me, he said, "Has your body ever talked to you?" And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "What is that?" I said, "Every now and then it tells me how tired it is." He said, "What do? I said, "I make it all kind of promises, and every now and then I get it some extra caffeine." So I actually would, and that's a way of medicating my body.
Sure, yeah.
But I really did. I mean, I would say stuff like this. When I get to Dallas, I'd be in bed at 7 o'clock tonight and sleep 12 hours. I'd get there and you'll understand this, there's always meetings before meetings.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't go to bed by midnight, and I'd be right back in the same fix the next day. Yeah. So when the medical doctor examined me, he said, "You need a break." And I'm not talking 2 weeks. But when I really did determine that either I was going to get well, or I was so dead inside, I was going to quit. And when I say quit, I itinerant ministry or something, but leave the pastorate and on. I had many more good years in me. But I just couldn't slow down. It was like an adrenaline. I mean, it really was. It was. But one of my friends says this: ministry is narcotic. Ministry is narcotic. But he was saying it in he loves it. It's wonderful to do something you absolutely love doing. I wake up, I don't wake up singing as much anymore, because my wife reminds me that I'm the only one awake. Shut up, you know. But I mean, really, I am one that wakes up. The minute I wake up, I don't want to roll over. I'm ready to charge the day. I mean, I love my early morning hours with the Lord, and that's when I do my best thinking and writing and journaling. And so, but it's like, it's hard to get off that. So when I go on, say, like I take July off every year, it takes me, and this is a confession, 4 or 5 days to slow down and disengage. In other words, what I'm trying to say is, it is a work of grace of God in my heart to disengage. I have a hard time disengaging.
Yeah.
So, but I know that. And so I just say to my wife, be patient with me. Every day I'm weaning off, you know. So I'm sure on your phones, you get a weekly update of how much time you spent on your phone.
Yeah.
And when mine says down some now, I think, what a friend we have in Jesus. I mean, because it's just hard to get that time down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good. Thanks for answering the question. So I guess next up, so how can a ministry leader prioritize his spiritual health? We talked a little about physical health, right? Taking time to listen to your body, like take some sabbaticals, even though you might not have them or you have them. And what about spiritual health?
Yeah, in spiritual health, W.A. Criswell greatly influenced me, along with tens of thousands of others. But he really challenged me early in my walk to give my first hour to the Lord. And with very, very few exceptions, that's it. Now, I've been traveling a lot. So when I got home yesterday, I knew I was taking a day off. And but taking a day off, I still got a lot of busy work at my home to do in my office. But I just carved out, honestly, probably the first 3 hours of just catching up on some reading, just sitting and listening. And, you know, I'm reading Andrew Murray, the old classic, Waiting on God. I mean, the hardest thing in the world to do is wait. And again, I say wait, but just, you know, talking to him about something, but just say, okay, I'm going to try to be quiet for 5 minutes, not ask for anything, try not to reflect on anything, which is tough, but just speak into my life. But there's got to be that soul care. I mean, and then number two, whatever exercise they do, I jogged for years, but now I walk fast. I'm a speed walker. So I just came in from Fort Lauderdale, where my meetings were. So you would say in Tampa. So, you know, 78 degrees. So praise the Lord. Every morning, you know, I did 3 to 5 mile walk. And then I'm in the gym probably 5 days a week, at least 4 or 5 days every week. That wards off depression. So what I do is I do my devotion first and then my prayer time and kind of pray through all that I've been thinking or reflecting on. And then even as I do my exercise, I'm still meditating on that. Another great book for pastors is entitled 12 Day Week. Honestly, you need to read it. It's phenomenal. It's a small book, but a year is too big of a chunk. So if I think about, hey, it's January, here's what I like to do before December. Well, go ahead and put it in 12-week segments and then put it in your phone. Personalize it as well as make it part of your, you know, your business, your organization or whatever, and have some personal challenges. And then work on 12 weeks and see, you know, because on your calendar, you're going to have things you need to do in the 12 weeks that make the end of the year a reality. So things like that really help me to get my mind around what I'm doing. But, you know, I do little things. Ed Young Sr. taught me this over 30 years ago. And this is in the family part of taking care of yourself. Because if I don't take care of my wife and family, in ministry, ain't going to be enough for me to be taken care of. Our wives make us or break us. And mine has made me big time. Yeah. But here's what he said. And it's easy to remember. Dialogue daily. I mean, there's never a day I don't talk to my wife. And now she travels a good bit with me. Date weekly. I mean, I know that sounds big, but I promise you under God, I date my wife weekly. If I'm really, really busy, we'll grab a real nice lunch somewhere. Normally last night I took her out and just the two of us, and we had a wonderful dinner. And I always say to her on air, I say, okay, now let me get it right. And I've been doing it for years. This is our date, right? Yeah. Take my phone out and check it off. I want to get credit for everything I do. And then you ought to depart quarterly. And when I say depart quarterly, man, if you live somewhere that somebody and you got a tent, get away for a night. Somebody in your church or in your network's got a camper somewhere. They'll let you go stay a night. Mm. Or you may even have money to go to Hampton Inn, whatever. You know, depends on what else. But we really do try to get away. So we look at our calendar. Fred Lowry taught me to ask this question. How's my emotional love bank? And it was like, am I making proper deposits? Am I overdrawn? Am I taking care of you? And, you know, and then it goes a step further with the family. And by the way, when I do those big rocks, we sit down with my calendar and make sure I've got all the, you know, I do it every year, but they stay in there. When you put them in an iPhone, they stay in. Like when it's my daughter's birthday, it just automatically carries over next year. Sure. But in grandchildren or any special time, but then there's special vacation time. So January 2 through 9, we were busy in December, sort of like you. I do a lot of large student ministries during the holidays. So it just really, so January 2 through 9, we pulled away and did a cruise. Thanks to CDC, nobody was on the ship. You know, they were scared everybody away. Somebody said, "You're going to not go?" I said, "There won't be nobody there." So it was only 25% full, brand new ship. No, you know, no reservations. It was fabulous.
That's amazing.
Oh yeah, that would have been incredible.
But I'm always in devotionals, and then I read. Don't sound like much, but I've just finished a major writing project. I do a daily devotional every year for Thomas Nelson. So I stay busy. I write sermon books, for instance, sermonizing. So the book of Acts, exegetical, alliterated outline through every verse in the book, 400 pages. But I've done that in about 15 different books of the Bible. So I like to really, really, I like to produce, by the grace of God, stuff that will outlast me. But even in the midst of that, I am under personal accountability. I will read at least one good book a month. Now, I may read five, but I'm going to read one. I'm not, regardless of all the preparation or whatever. So I'm sitting here looking, my next one to start, you know, any days, laying right here in front of me. So people all the time email me and say, hey, I'm looking for some good books. What did you read last year? And I can always give them 12 books minimum that I read. And then for preachers, want to know this, they can go to nam.net/evangelism. I give away a free book a quarter. All you got to do is just, you can go there right now today and pick up James Merritt book, Character Still Counts. I've done a couple of great Spurgeon's books, new books on Spurgeon's love life, a book called Susie on his wife. I'd never read a great preacher's wife's biography. Never. I never thought about that. When I read it, it gave me even a deeper appreciation for my wife. I said, Spurgeon, I could call my wife Susie. She does all that stuff and more, you know. So sometimes it was a different twist. So I like to get it out there. But they go there and give me their address and name, postpaid, free. Do it a quarter. So send hundreds and hundreds out every quarter.
You know, a man can really be known by the disciples he makes. And the two pastors that I've come across throughout my tenure, Vance and Paul, both of whom are your disciples, were some of the most spiritually healthy pastors I've ever known. And so I'm excited to learn these principles directly from you. And I'm excited that our audience is having this chance. The book he mentioned several. One that really stood out to me was The 12-Week Year by Brian Moran. And I want to encourage you to pick that up. I think I'm going to be picking up a copy of that as well. You know, there's so much joy, Pastor Johnny, that just emanates from you. There's such an energy of hopefulness. Pastor Johnny, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you now and how many years have you been serving Jesus?
Okay, I'm 69 and I've been a pastor for 45 years.
So
I was converted at 20.
It's just so exciting and so refreshing to see somebody who is just a few years down the road from so many of us that emanates joy and a hopeful energy. Can you share with us how you maintain that joyful and hopeful energy?
All right, I will, but let me really encourage you guys with the latest research that came out, and I'm just going to put it in this context and hope it doesn't offend anyone, but many of you know I was extremely close personal friend with Robbie Zacharias. Robbie did my 30th anniversary celebration. He flew all night without sleeping from West Coast to be there to do two morning services. And that morning he stood up and he said, Johnny, I've just done research, and here's what I need to tell you. A leader's best years is their 60s. Second, 70s. Third, 50s. And it just hit this week. And so I've got your email address. I'll send it to you. But and it's kind of brief. So really, sometimes preachers are talking about stepping away when they're moving into their greatest season. Now, that is a word from Almighty God. Don't dare step away from your best season of life. And they're stepping away because of this self-perception, because it's just a normal question, but your people begin to say, well, I hear you hit the old big 65 the other day, so when are you thinking about hanging it up? And you can interpret that is that I ought to hang it up. Charles Stanley, we're good friends. I just spent 2.5 hours with him. I love to tell stories how he's mentored in me and my life for the last 30 years and how that happened, what connected us. My other mentor just died at 96, John Edmund Haggai. John Edmund Haggai is the man that inspired John Maxwell to write Leadership, because he was a leadership guru. But anyway, Jesus brought these people by my past, and I praise him for it. But I've tried to steward it well. If they're going to invest in me, you know, I feel accountable to do in others. But I think one of the things that brings such great joy is I think about this often. What if I could see no fruit from my labor? I mean, and just what if I just thought, it can almost lead you to be suicidal that, oh my God, I've been out here doing this 30 years. Well, the question is, what were you doing intentionally? Mm-hmm. So it doesn't sound like much, but since my church exploded, it gave me some opportunities. What were they? I became part of the mega church network. Well, they were meeting, and I got to go to some of their meetings, but sometimes the greatest men in America were going to hold a meeting. But I had made a decision that I was going to pour into these 20-year-olds coming behind me when I was in my late 30s. And so it kept me from some stuff, but I was intentional. And it's really, really, really paid off. So God gave me the best on both ends, really. But I mean, I really don't want to make it sound like I sacrificed, but I really did miss a lot of things I wanted to be at because I wanted to reach back and help a generation coming behind me. Mm. Now that generation that's come behind me, you mentioned Paul, and I was being interviewed the other day only on mentoring. They just wanted to, the whole broadcast was mentoring. And they called me this morning and said 4,000 people, different hits to that broadcast, listening and asking questions. And now, you know, they want me to answer some questions for these guys and provide some material for them. But, you know, I've got a young man named John Welburn, and John's in Staten Island. He's killing it. I've just gotten plenty of some of the guys work with me now, but I mentored them. But people in significant areas across country, some that are leading evangelism for their state, but I mentored them. So I try to be very intentional. And in my mentoring, it was not set down lessons. And I don't think Jesus did many set down lessons. The disciple was with him. That's the key word. They were with Jesus. So they observed him. And then there were times that they said, we don't understand what you meant by what you said back there. Explain it to us. And I allowed them to do that with me. There would be times like after they sat through a staff meeting with me, spending a year with me, working out of my office, gave them book allowance, gave them travel allowance. They went everywhere with me. They came to my home, got to know my family. My children loved them. And I've got so much in my heart. Here's another thing. A guy will say, you know, when my kids are out of the house, or when I'm an investor, I'm going to do this. I'm not being ugly, but if it's not worth doing now, why don't you take it off the table? And if God wants you to do something 10 years from now, why is he telling you now? I feel like I'm not a forward thinker of 10 years, what God wants me to do. I might dream where I'd like to be in 10 years, but as far as what he wants me to do, I think he's telling me that for now. Adrian Rogers said, God will give you light, obey the light, and he'll increase the light. Mm. So here I am. I've been out of mentoring for 2 years. So basically for 25 years prior to then, of my 33 years at Woodstock, two people in a couple of years, I did three because there were some international students and I needed to get them when they could get in our country for a year. So, but I think that really it people say, I mean, you know, I have guys that travel with me. I don't travel alone and they're in their early 40s. And what I have now is the highest energy I've ever had. Most have not been able to keep up with me. They just say, man, do you mind if I take tomorrow off? I mean, I am worn out. I mean, they just following, but I get it. I really do. Because if I'm encouraging, and my spiritual gift, by the way, from Romans 12, 6 through 8, motivational gift, mine is encouragement. I think number two is giving. My wife is a prophet, so she keeps me straight. But when you're exercising your spiritual gift, it it refuels you. I get so excited. I mean, I'm already thinking about when I stand in San Diego, and I mean it with all my heart. I am so grateful to God and encouraged that all of those men would carve out 3 days. And you're going to experience the same thing when you're in Tampa and Chicago. But there's a lot of places they could go. Thank you that you carved out time for us. I'm just glad to be on your agenda. And it makes me want to be at my best. I've got a brand new book coming out in April, and I've never been so excited. It's the first book I've written why I didn't have the pastorate, you know, to deal with too. And I really feel in my writer and my ghostwriter and the publisher saying, oh my God, this is the finest project you've ever done. But I'm dealing with how to be influential as a leader. Mm. It's go. And it came from research. We sent out a survey of 5,000 people asking 3 questions. And you don't get that many back, but the ones that came back were go. One of the number one things a pastor wants is for somebody to show them how to be a more confident decision maker. We're dying for indecisiveness. I may make the wrong decision, but thank God I can still make a decision. Some guys just can't make a decision. So fires me up.
Man, it's exciting for us too. I'm excited about this new book that's coming out in April. I can't wait to get a copy. There are 2 things that really stood out to me. First is you have no greater joy than to see when your mentees walk in truth. And the other thing was when you're able to fulfill your spiritual gifts that advance the kingdom of God, absolutely incredible. I appreciate that.
Yeah, if you're working outside of your gift, that's where you get so discouraged and you pour out far more than you're taking in. And, that's...
Well, you've been very gracious with your time and generous with it. I appreciate it. We have this kind of last question for you. So what excites you most about the future?
I'm writing a little lesson. I don't know what I'll do with it, but it's entitled How to Remain Valuable. Mm. And the other morning I was journaling and I just wrote this statement. I want to live as long as I'm alive. And that may sound simple, but really a lot of people aren't living anymore. You know, they've gone off the radar. Listen, if he's giving me breath for another day, he's not done with me. You know, so I'm, who is it? It'll come to me in a minute. But one of the great pastors not long ago said, why don't you tell yourself how old you are every morning instead of trying to just feel how old you are? And it just really spoke to me. So, that's no factor. Remember years ago, people started saying he's a young 50, he's a young 60 or that type thing. And it kind of stuck with me. And soon, in the summer, I'll be 70. And I'm just thinking, really? Am I really 70? So, I can still get out and, tear that pavement up for 5 miles and look further, and I've got a place over toward Panama City Beach. And when I go there, I may just tell my wife, I put on a great sermon or a lesson somebody taught. And man, I'm gone, 6 or 7 miles and just come back, grab a shower and spend a day with my family. I'm still very excited about life and eternity, just everything God has for us.
The exuberance and the excitement that you bring, man, is so much fun to listen to. And that's why we love to follow you, Dr. Hunt, Pastor Johnny, why we love to follow you and why we love to read your stuff and looking forward to having you connect with the network even more in the future. We'd love to have you come out to an event. This is not an official, I'm not going to call you on the carpet if you're unable to, but man, we just want to put out there that we'd love to have you come at one of our events in the future.
And I'm in a good place in that that's what I'm doing. I'm spending my time. Tomorrow I'm heading over to Louisiana. I'll speak to a lot of men tomorrow night. And then the next morning I'll honor a pastor on his 20th anniversary. What a joy to, I've prepared, I think, a good word to encourage him. And then, somebody's doing a crusade. I'm going to go in and challenge hundreds of people to be involved in that crusade and to fund it. And so, I'm with pastors about, seriously, every day during the week, or I've even got, when I go into a city, if I go in to just speak for a local church, I just tell the pastor, I say, hey, if you want to gather the pastors of your association, all denominations, I'll treat them to dinner. That's a NAM gig. And and then I'll talk a little bit about what I do and then challenge them or give them a lesson. And then I gift all of them. So if I came to your place, just when I'm down with Carrie Schmidt, and even before I went, Carrie said, I'm doing this and I want to bless these pastors. And so I sent every one of them my devotional, wrote a leadership book 12 years ago, building a leadership resume. I sent that. But so I'm able to gift these pastors and invest in them as well as try to answer their questions. And there's a lot of, like when you were to Paul Godhart or Vance Pittman, we call it reverse mentoring. I learn a lot from those guys. Vance is in his 50s, early 50s, and then Paul is in right at 50 now, you know, gosh, I mean, he's just, you know, he was with me 18 years ago. Vance was with me 22 years ago.
Amazing.
But then when you see what they built, you know,
yes.
Vance has started 70 churches. So God allowed me to plant 120, but that's not counting his 70. Those are my grandbabies.
Amen.
But when you look at what's happened to the ones we planted, I mean, really, seriously, before God, we're 400 or 500 churches have come out and splintered from our DNA. So
well, we,
who would have ever dreamed, you know? And so, and I'm amazed that God would allow me to do what I do. So
well, we
I've never gotten over that.
It's great.
Well, you bring such glory and honor to the Lord, our master, as you describe what God has allowed you to do, what God has allowed those you've discipled to accomplish for the kingdom. And we're so thankful to be in partnership with you and so thankful that you're speaking into our network and have the possibility of doing so and the excitement of doing so in the future.
Thanks so much
Thank
for listening to today's
Pastor Johnny,
Idea
for joining
Talks.
Us today and sharing with
if
us.
If you would like to reach out to us, drop us an email at joshtice@ideanetwork.church. If you benefited from this podcast, we ask that you take a moment to show your support by subscribing, rating, and reviewing the podcast on iTunes. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you right here again at the Idea Talks podcast.